Words on Water. This episode is brought to you by Flexim. As the technological leader in the field of non-invasive ultrasonic flow measurement, Flexim continuously sets standards. Their clamp-on ultrasonic measurement systems measure virtually anything that flows, liquids, as well as gases. Today, non-invasive flow measurement is widely sought after. Clamp-on ultrasonic transducers are simply attached to the outside of the pipe without any interruption to operation or any risk of leakage. Flexim has successfully been providing this technology for over 25 years and continues to extend its range of applications while meeting the highest industry requirements. Visit www.flexim.com.
Hi, welcome to Words on Water, a podcast from the Water Environment Federation. This is the host, Travis Loop. This episode, we're going to talk about flow metering, and I'm joined by John Van Nostrand. He is the South and Municipal Manager for Flexim. John, how are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing fine, Travis. Thank you.
Great. I'm excited to talk to you about this. It's actually not something I know a lot about myself personally, but I know it's a very huge issue, very huge area for the water sector, and I think you can bring a lot of knowledge for our listeners about this. So there's varying degrees of knowledge among our listeners about topics like this. So could you explain just what flow metering is?
Sure. We all know what a flow meter is, but that's probably about all we really know for the most part. A lot of people don't know this, but a flow meter is actually considered an instrument, a precision instrument. And flow measurement is really the quantification of a media that's moving through a pipe. And there's a large variety of types of meters. I mean, there are mechanical meters, there are positive displacement meters, there are primary elements that use differential pressure. There's mass flow meters and open channel flow meters. There's all different types. Most of them operate measuring velocity and then calculate volumetric flow. And that's done by velocity times area. There are some other meters out there that are electronic that are really common nowadays. And that's electromagnetic flow meters and, of course, ultrasonic, which is what I'm most passionate about.
All right. So the way it basically works is this meter keeps track of how fast liquid's moving through that pipe. It knows how large that area is, and then it can tell you, well, this is the volume that you have moving through there.
That's exactly right.
All right.
And the funny thing is, Travis, the smaller the meter is probably more common for household type meters, like maybe 1 inch and smaller. And those are typically either positive displacement or mechanical style nutating disc type meters. And then as you grow larger in size, like commercial industrial users, they'll tend to change technologies using the differential pressure, magnetic, ultrasonic, and that type of thing.
Looking at the water sector, utilities, industry, so forth, especially kind of the utility side. I wanted you to talk through how metering is used, in the various stages, collections, treatment, distribution. Could you kind of break that down for us?
Yeah, sure. Flow measurement in the industry is fundamental. It's important on every level. Like you said, for water distribution, production, treatment, collections. Every utility is required to have a conservation plan, and water users or municipal managers have requirements for reporting. And these requirements are to some regulatory agency, and they're usually, monthly or quarterly. And the water regulators want to know just how much water is being used, and not only how much, but what's it being used for, whether it's build or unbuild meaning fire protection applications and things like that. And then how much water is being leaked. We think about water usage. We think about water loss, how much is being lost. And regulators and AWWA and other leaders in the industry are trying to get people to stop thinking in terms of percentage. We used to think if we take X million gallons of water out of the ground and treat it, and we deliver X million gallons. As long as we're within a certain percentage between what we've taken out and what we've delivered, we're in good shape. Well, the funny thing is I can think of an example where there was a water plant, and a lot of people think, you know, these bottled water plants are somewhere up on the top of a mountain where they're taking water from a spring. The truth is, they're taking water right out of the faucet and running it through a filtration system. So think about a utility that has a large water loss, say in the neighborhood of 16%, but it's a small utility. Maybe they're pumping 1 million, 2 million gallons a day. Now you take a bottling water plant and put it into that system, and this new plant has all new PVC piping and everything is tight and clean and no leaks. And they start running 500,000-600,000 gallons a day. That's 10-15% of the water loss immediately goes away, because they're thinking in terms of percentage. Now, if you think in terms of gallons, that same number of gallons has been lost. Think about the pumping cost and the treatment cost. And that's what the AWWA plans are, to try to get utilities to realize the cost that they're losing, the money, the revenue that they're losing, rather than just in terms of percentage. So there's a movement to do that. And meter accuracy becomes very, very important. And leaks, finding them, becomes very, very important. That's kind of what I hope that we might talk a little bit more about.
Yeah, that's very interesting, this issue of water loss. I think a lot of people hear about water loss and they think that there's just leaks and that water's just getting out of the pipes that way. But I'm wondering if you could build a little bit on the idea of what role meters play in water loss, and but then also in fixing that water loss.
Yeah, that's perfect. We think in terms of balancing. When we think in terms of water, we think about the number of gallons that come out of the ground through the treatment plant and that are delivered. And then when delivering these, you know, the water through the distribution network, there are subdivisions in the distribution network where they build new neighborhoods, and some old neighborhoods might have deteriorating infrastructure. So metering becomes very important, not only at the household or at the business, wherever the drop point is for the water user, but it also becomes important throughout the system to monitor the integrity of the system. You know, you think about the amount of water from the source, whether it be ground or surface, and then the amount of water that's delivered through the distribution system. If a utility pumps 4 million gallons out of the ground, it stands to reason that they're going to deliver 4 million. But throughout the distribution network, if the meters aren't registering properly, those totals don't match. And it may be that there's no leak at all, but really that they're having data collection problems, and that leads to inaccuracy in their metering.
So they could be basically pumping more water than they think that they are.
Yes, that's exactly right. And it really shows up really funny, in a funny way, when they take a number of gallons out of the ground and treat it, and then they deliver 10, 20, 30% more than they've treated. So when that happens, it's very easy to determine that it's a metering issue and not necessarily, you know, leaks in the system, obviously.
How do they catch that then, ultimately, if there's an issue with meters in the distribution system and they end up pumping 10, 20% more? How do they discover that difference? Is that after the fact, you know, when the water comes out the back end?
It is when they do the sum of the meters. A lot of meters nowadays are read electronically, so they can read, you know, throughout the billing cycle, they can take readings and determine these types of things. One of the common problems in the distribution system is that, you know, if the meters aren't accurately reading and they're showing a higher value than they normally would, it's typically not so much that the meter is failing. It's most likely that it's misinstalled. Because you can't necessarily read higher than what's really there unless there's some other force that's causing that to happen. And that often happens. When we have meters that are installed incorrectly, like, for example, there may be upstream disturbances such as a butterfly valve or a check valve or any kind of a valve or 90-degree elbows that cause swirling or skewed flow velocities. And if you have a mechanical meter inserted just downstream of that, it can read higher. Typically, meters tend to read lower if they're inaccurate.
How and why? And why is that?
Imagine if you're, have you ever taken a garden hose to a fan? Maybe you have a fan that's in the garage and you want to clean it up, and you put a garden hose and you can forcefully make that fan spin very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Or you can actually turn the nozzle just slightly and make the fan turn very slowly or stop even, or even turn backwards. That's the kind of effect that a skewed flow profile has against a meter inside of a line. And it's very, very difficult to have an accurate flow measurement if you don't have installation guidelines are not followed. For example, if you don't have the proper number of diameters of straight run upstream of one of these meters, you can certainly have those problems. So meter installation becomes very, very important. In aging infrastructure, they never really considered flow measurement. Huh. They just put whatever piping they needed to into a very small space to accomplish what they were trying to do. And that was backflow prevention and isolation and things like that. So flow metering on older stations is an afterthought. Now, on newer stations, engineering departments are smart enough to realize that they need to have those upstream and downstream diameters, and they'll design for them. So retrofitting becomes very difficult when it comes to accurate flow measurement.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this as you were talking, John, is, you know, there's a lot of aging infrastructure in our country. There's a lot of infrastructure and pipes that were put in decades and decades ago. And so I was just, you know, thinking in my head, wow, how much metering is there actually out there? And of the metering there is, how much is aging and outdated like a lot of our infrastructure?
Yeah, you know, I mentioned that flow meters are instruments, and they're considered instruments, and instruments require attention. They require calibration. And a lot of utility companies don't have the manpower or the resources to go and do the maintenance that's required. So they do the best they can with what they've got, and we have to recognize that. But there are things that can be done throughout their system, like installing meters to do some overnight testing. A lot of times you can put a meter on a trunk line and just put a overnight recording device to capture those off-peak times. So when people are sleeping, of course you realize that when people get up in the morning and they're showering and they're making their coffee, the water plant are really in full production. They're trying to get as much water into the system as possible. But at midnight, when people are sleeping, there's very little activity going on. So that's the time we want to try to capture those leaks. We want to put a meter on and record those times one day to the next, and we can get a baseline of information, and then we can start determining if we have leaks in the system. That's one of the really cool things that I love about the Flexometers, because we've got the capability to set it up like kind of like an alarm clock. And so it comes on at a certain time, it records through the night, and then turns off again, capturing that data. And then you can compare day after day. It's really helpful in determining if there are leaks in the system.
So you can use this combination of kind of permanently installed meters, but then you can also do some, you know, I don't know, temporary meters, if you will, where if you want to take a look at particular situations or spots.
Yes, that's right. And it's really important to be able to capture low flows. See, that's the thing about metering as well. When we're in peak demand, like I said, at 7 a.m. or 7 p.m., when people are busy living their lives and cooking meals and showering and such, we don't have so much of a worry about being able to capture the flow, because the meters that are installed tend to have a range that's capable of capturing that type of flow. But when the flow goes very, very low, like in the off-peak times, or in a lot of times where new neighborhoods are being developed, the sizing of the pipes are very large for the number of people on that line. And the reason for that is because they designed for future expansion, future growth. So what that means is that they've got large pipes with low flow. Meters aren't often capable of capturing that flow, so they don't even know it's there. They're not able to determine if they're having any leak issues. And so having a meter that's able to capture very, very low flows becomes important. And again, that's one of the things that I really like about what we do, because we're able to capture flows down to 0.03 feet per second, and in special circumstances, 10 times lower than that. So it's very, very, very low flows that we're able to capture. We can determine weeping leaks. I'm talking filling a shot glass.
Wow, really? That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And so, if there's water passing by through that pipe, past that meter that it can't detect, I mean, that water represents dollar signs, right? I mean, that's
exactly.
Yeah.
And imbalance. Imagine a lot of little meters all throughout the system that all have errors in one way or another. Those errors build up and they begin to really add up over time. And it shows quite a substantial imbalance between what's being taken out of the ground and what's being delivered.
Or how would you assess the response of the water utility sector to this issue? Or is there a lot more awareness about this right now and a lot more effort being paid to getting proper metering in place?
You know, it's funny that you asked that. Yes, the answer is yes, but it's an education process too. A lot of people look at specifications of meters, but they kind of think that it is what it is. That's all they have available to them. They don't necessarily realize the ability to go into the very, very low flow, you know, areas like to the 0.03. We think about a magnetic flow meter, which is very common in water and wastewater markets. It's easy to just install a mag meter and not have to worry about it. And that's what people like about it, because they don't intrude into the flow. They're full bore, so there's no obstruction, no pressure drop. However, they've got some low flow capability issues. The sweet spot for a magnetic flow meter runs from 3 to 33 feet per second. And they can go lower, but as they go lower than 3 feet per second, say down to about 0.3, the accuracy begins to fall off. So the lower the flow, the less accurate the meter. And that's where they need the accuracy the most, because that's where that system lives much of the time. I would say that probably better than 2/3 of the day, you're capturing low flows in that, you know, 2 feet per second and less.
Wow.
It's only during the peak times that meter is really within its most accurate range of flow. Being able to capture it is really, really important.
You know, you've mentioned how Flexum has meters that can do this. One of the big areas I'm always interested in is how technology, you know, just kind of the rapid improvement in technology and innovation and, you know, the use of data and so forth is playing in water infrastructure. So it sounds like you guys are kind of on the forefront of that. I'm wondering if you could talk about those areas a little bit and just kind of where the cutting edge is and where it's going.
One of the really neat things about what we do at Flexum is our ability to measure, the broad ability to measure. I said captured low flows is important. We can do that. We do that from outside of the pipe. You clamp onto the outside of the pipe. Imagine, you know, you go to the doctor and you get an ultrasound, and the doctor can put the transducers right on your body and see what's going on inside of you. It's the same technology, but we're applying it to industry. So we use that same coupling compound, and we put the coupling, sonic coupling, on the face of the transducer, just like the doctor does. He takes that little heated tube of gel and puts it on the transducer. We do the same type of thing, and we actually can see, you know, what's going on through the pipe, through the wall of the pipe. So we clamp right on the outside, and we can accurately measure what goes through it. Now, the technology of ultrasonics have been around for a long time, but Flexum has really done a lot of work to improve the signal. What we've done is we've done some things like temperature compensation in the transducers, and we've done some digital signal processing. So we put a digital mark on a sinusoidal waveform as the energy leaves the transducer. That's what is being detected on the downstream transducer. So we not only put one digital mark, but we put a series of digital marks. So what that basically means is that we're able to capture low flow capabilities in tuberculated pipes built up on the inside. You know, like if there's a calcification in the line, we're able to get onto those pipes and send our signal through it and capture it. Ductile iron pipes, cement pipes, you know, We're able to do things that haven't been done before in the industry. It's really kind of cool. We also do things like use coupling pads instead of gel. I mentioned that warm gel that the doctor uses. We use that for portable applications, but in permanent applications, we actually use a coupling pad that doesn't degrade. That's one of the big things. In the old days, ultrasonics would fail because you'd have to go back and put that grease back on the transducer. It's that sonic couplant. We've done away with that, so you don't have to do that anymore. And that's really helped the longevity of the meter. We have meters that are installed for 20 years without being touched, and they're just ticking along.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, retrofitting becomes very easy. What our customers really like is that if they have a meter failure, they can walk right up to that meter and put a new Flexum ultrasonic right in its place without taking anything out of service and run along with the new number, the new flow measurement from the ultrasonic that's clamped on the outside.
I mentioned how technology is improving and improving rapidly, and you know, the digital era that we're in. Is there anything you see kind of down the road or around the corner that you guys are working on, or that the sector is working on, or wants to be able to do?
Yeah, I believe that, you know, baseline data is really important. So with any resource management program, they're going to have to do metering. And in order to know the condition of their system and what improvements are doing to their system, they're going to have a baseline of data. So they need to measure in a lot of places. And having portable meters really, really helps them, because they're able to walk up to a location and get baseline data very, very quickly, and then make improvements and then measure again what those improvements have done for their baseline. And or finding leaks, you know, if they believe that they have leaks, to be able to walk right up and put a meter on and read it and leave it for a period of time. So, you know, things like battery operated portable meters are really important. And data collection is really important. I mean, I think one of the big things is being able to analyze the data. So finding a way to not only capture and store the data, but to be able to use it in an intelligent way. It's kind of an important thing. Those are probably the big things right now that our utilities are struggling with.
Well, John, this has been very educational for me, and I hope it has been for our listeners. I'm sure it has been. I appreciate the time and the information.
Thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to talk with us.
Words on